I want you all to look at me a minute. I don't know, unless you are seeing in the Spirit, and you can engage with your eyes open. You're not seeing the Spirit. You need to actually have your eyes closed, because what's happening is the outside information will be overriding your senses of your spirit man wanting to engage with the presence of the Lord. And so I would encourage you all to actually shut your eyes. When music starts to play and you start to follow the wind of the glory in the realm of the Spirit and the kingdom, and God wants to do something, unless you are seeing in the Spirit and you can see, close your eyes. For the simple fact that it shuts your body senses down from having predominance over your spirit man so it can begin to engage properly. One of the key things I find when an atmosphere starts to build like this is don't try and draw the atmosphere from the outside into yourself to make you feel better. What I've learned to do is I learned how to expose my heart to the presence of God when an atmosphere builds. The Bible talks about a double leaf door in heaven that opens. There is a double leaf door that opens here in your body, and it's called your rib cage. And what I do with my heart and my life when the atmosphere begins to build like this is I begin to take in my mind and my imagination, I begin to open my heart door like this. And I say to the Lord, Lord, I expose my heart to your glory. I come into where you are. Major, major key. And so when the atmosphere is building like this, do things like this that enable you to engage the presence of God. So it enables you to go somewhere and begin to participate with the flow of the anointing. Just because I'm talking, the anointing hasn't stopped. It never stops. We've just got to get into the breath of where it's flowing and then move along with it. And so I'd encourage you all just to close your eyes, shut your eyes, and just inside your heart begin to yearn. I said this morning about engaging. One of those things was about desire. And Lord, I don't know about you, but I desire Him more than even standing here talking. I just want Him. And so, Father, I want you all to take your hands and put them on the center of your chest like this. And I'll give you some things to work with. This is what I do when I'll be teaching you how to use the Word as an anchor. But your spirit man needs anchors to graft the reality of what it is seeing so you can retain the information. And so what I do is I often do practical things like this. Lord, I take hold of the center of my rib cage and I pull it open and I expose it to your presence. Lord, I desire and yearn that my heart be exposed to you, Father, that you would try my heart and know me, know my heart, know my essence of who I am. Father, I open my heart and my being to your glory and to your presence today. Lord, fill it. Fill my rib cage. Fill the tent. Fill the tent of my body with your presence. Fill the tent of my body with your glory. Lord, I hunger after you. Lord, I yearn to be found in the courts of your presence, to know you and be known by you. Lord, I open my being to your presence today. See, we can do these things in worship. That's why we worship. Let's pick it up again. Hallelujah. You know, I am sure that if we don't learn how to practice here, we'll come there and we'll be like little babies trying to learn how to celebrate. When we clap like this, this is very important, because what it does is it unlocks you and enables you to engage what God wants us to have for today. Because it's celebrating actually His victory. And if you're not celebrating His victory, what are you celebrating? And so that's why when we clap, just let your body go and clap. And it's actually okay. It's not a sin to clap in church. And you can celebrate. I mean, that's how heaven's going to be. When you see Jesus opening up that scroll in that day when your name was written in that book, I tell you, you won't just be going, I know what I'm going to be. It'll be like, yeah! Because I will be so happy in that day. Amen? Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God, it seems like we've got a few more people here now. Hallelujah. All kind of straggling in. It's just awesome. If you weren't here at the first session this morning, I'd kind of highly recommend that you get it so that you'll be able to sort of follow through with what we're doing. I want to do a session, but I'm just going to talk about something. This young guy by the name of Shane Willard that does some amazing stuff. And I'm going to use an example of his because, well, I can't really get you all to see because you're all sitting down the side, but you know, one of our biggest struggles in the way we engage God. And what we do is that we're trying to get to grips with a multi-transverse, diversity God living out of three or four dimensions. And so we have quite a lot of problem trying to relate. When God goes, boo, all we hear is the ba and the ooh, and we kind of end up, and I'm going really deep again, so I don't know what's going on with the system. But what I find is that if this was Jane and John, and say this was our world, like this, and there's Jane and John sitting on the plane of this life, that's John with the shorts on, and this is Jane here with the skirt on, you know how it goes. As you can see, I'm really good at drawing. But if God came into this world where the only existence they ever experienced was a flat plane, and he said to them, lift their arm, and suddenly they can lift their arm, they've got no grid to lift their arm. Because all they've ever done is lived out of this single surface. And so what happens is God comes into our single surface in the three or four dimensions that we move in, and says, come into heaven. And we don't have a grid for it, because number one, we're not experienced it. We've never experienced it. We've never seen it. We don't understand it, yet we know it's real, because his word says it's real. So when he says, come, we don't know what to do. It's because this has been our experience. And so when he brings revelation, say this is the pen. If I was to put the pen into this plane, all you'd see is that. So I would say, here's the pen. All you'd see on that surface is that, and you'd see this. The end of the pen. That's what you. That, all you'd see is that and that. Yet this thing is circular. And so our problem when God brings revelation to us is we try and fit it into the flat plane. And it doesn't work, because we're thinking in our box, we're thinking in the dimensions that we move in. And if you were to take a cube like this, you have to excuse my tech drawing here for those folks who can't, you know, whatever. If I was to take a cube and say I lived out of eight dimensions, every one of those dimensions would see the pen in a different way. And not only that, but if I saw from this corner into the reflection in here, I'd see it another eight different ways. Then if I saw it from this side this way, I'd see it eight different ways. From this side this way, eight different ways. Then from that corner, 16 different ways. And so when you start adding 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16 times 8, 4 times 8, from each corner and each end down here, you have about 140 or 50 odd different dimensions that God moves in. And we're trying to figure out how to lift our arm off the page. And so when God brings revelation, don't try and jump into a hafty. Don't try and, you go in a huffy, right? Don't try and jump into the multi-dimensional arena that God operates in. Just step into one more and work with the one you have. Because the accumulation of the present measured against the past becomes a memory that can enable us to glean the next memory on and anchor the next memory on. And so in this session, I want to talk about the human mind. When I'm in the courtrooms of heaven, and when I'm in the scroll room of remembrance, and there is a room in heaven in the mountain. The mountain of God is a very interesting place. The Greek teach you that you have to go up the outside of the mountain. The Hebrew teach you the only way to go up a mountain is in it. And so you find in John, it says that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. And we think, like Greek, that he walked up the outside. No, he didn't. Jesus went up into a mountain. The same way as we think when we read the record of the testimony of what happened in Mount Sinai. It says that Moses went up into a mountain. When you actually read it quickly in the correct translation, in the right way, Moses went in and up the mountain. So what that means is Moses went in and the mountain came off the ground. Moved over the tribe of Israel with a mountain hovering over them and said to them, will you marry me? And so the next time when Moses came down out of from that mountain, up in that mountain, they said to Moses, you go up, we'll stand a long way away from you over there, so because we don't want that again. And we live in these kind of paradigms that we think are right, but actually the reality of them is we're trying to get a box and an anchor so that we can put God in our little box so that we don't have to change anymore. And God wants us outside of our box. And so for me, when I've been in the courtrooms in heaven and in the places that I go and I spend my night watch there, I love going to the scroll room of records. There was a room in heaven that is just huge, and it's got everything the Father's ever done. From what was into what is and what is to come is in that room. Everything, because it's already all done, because it's all in one continuum. It's finished as far as he's concerned. It is already done and completed, but it's also at the beginning. And so the whole panoramic of everything that's ever happened and going to happen is already done. One of the keys of David was he lived out of the future. Today. On the timeline, because he could see that he was a king in Israel. So that's why he wasn't afraid of a lion. That's why he knew he'd kill the lion, because he knew the future. That's why he could kill a bear. That's why he could go up to Goliath, you know. You uncircumcised Philistine, who do you think you are? You know, this day I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. I'm going to cut your head off, buddy. What are you going to say about that? And he hears this little boy, 12 or 13-year-old, going against a guy as tall as that wall there. You know, who weighed 600 pounds, who carried a spear that's 6 inches round with a head weighing 60 pounds on his spear. Like, these weren't little tiddly-winky giants that lived in the land. These were supernatural beings impregnated in a human body, creating these beings. Here's David running up to it. I'm sure if David had run backwards and gone like this with a stone, a stool would hit Goliath in the middle of the head. Why? Because he could see down the future that it was dead and he had victory over it. If he had missed, it would have gone all the way around the world and still hit him in the front of the head. I'm serious. Because it's a decree of the Word of God for us to overcome. And if you understand who you are and you're living out of the future where you've already seen yourself overcome and positioned in God, then nothing in front of you can ever stop you getting there. That's why we've got to live out of the future. Where the future is perfect. And I can live out of that perfectness now. Because what I see, I can have. Not what I hear and think. What I see. And so, when I was in that place in the kingdom and in the mountain of God is an amazing place. And it says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He is clean handed, pure heart, blah blah." You know, it says into, not up the outside. And so often we've been told something that isn't. It's true. You can't go to the outside. I love going to the outside because there's animals there that you can see and communicate with and interact with. And these creatures there that are really good that fly around the mountain, that sit on the outside of the mountain. You can have a relationship with them, and then they can relate to you on this plateau here, because you're a mountain. You will become a mountain, so you need to understand their function on the mountain so it can help you become a mountain. If you want that all again, get the CD. And so it becomes really important for us to understand how God made us and why we were made this way and what's caused us to change and then how to change back to the way we're supposed to be. God didn't make me a human being. He made me a spirit being. Which says that God, like he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in the womb. I preordained works for you to do before the foundations of the earth or the heavens, before the foundation of all creation. God already had preordained it. When you look at the word new, it actually means to have a deep, intimate relational connection and knowing and relationship. So before he was here, he was there. Because he was living out of the future already, knowing that he was going to be here because he was a spirit being. Hallelujah. And so that means that there is a destiny woven for me. I'm not created this way, I'm made this way, but I'm created to be that way. When I can understand how I've been made and how this, what is created, needs to go back. Sorry, this, how what has been made needs to go back to what has been created, then I can understand the pathway to get there. And so for me, I've been very interested with the human mind and how it worked because of the things that I've been involved in and the process that God had been taking me through to enable me to understand the supernatural world and how to engage it and what to do while I'm there. And so when I was there talking to one of the chancellors and the spirit of knowledge that was there, I said, well, I want to understand how the human mind, how it works. I don't want all the intricacies. I don't need to know like everything else goes. I just want to understand A, B, C, D. I know you can give me from A to Z and all the numbers that are on the end of it and all the other elements on the other side of it that we don't even know about yet. I know you can give me all that stuff. I just want the simple things. I want the flat, plain stuff. And so I found that in that process that I began to get some understanding of why we struggle to see and the protocols of what I can do to change that and to enable that and to hasten it in my life so that I can engage. And everybody will see differently. Now, I've been doing this for 20 years, so it's easy to engage the supernatural world and to go into that kingdom and put your face into it. And once you've made a door, you can walk through the door. And so it's easy to walk through the door. And because I can put my head in there and have a good look around and then come back here, and I'm still here. And it's that fast. And it's not as fast as I practiced. Now, if I was to go into your house and try and go from your bedroom to the restroom, you'll have these things called wait-a-minute vines. And it's the door handles, and it's the tables that kick your shin on, and you know the little things that you know are there that I don't know when it's pitch black. But you put me in that house for 6 months, and you can waltz all the way down that passageway. You don't even have to fiddle for the light. You just go, click, and you know it's right there. Why? Because you practiced. And this is the things with the kingdom. You know it's there. It seems dark, but let me tell you, if you practice the pathway, you can go, bloop, hallelujah. And I love doing that with unsaved people. You know, you're busy talking to them, and you go, oh, that's really good. And you're, oh, that's wonderful. Let's have a look at that. Okay, well, no, no. You just carry on. And it's not. Once you practice the pathway of the realms of the kingdom, you can walk down them a lot faster. And so the more you practice, the easier it is to get. I mean, we had this girl come into our room, and it's now 20 minutes. I need to get back to what I want to do. But, you know, I love my office. You know, sometimes I'm inside there, and you get a bit kind of Holy Ghost crazy. And this was a number of years ago now. I had this girl walk into the office. A beautiful, executive from another company come to see me to sell me some product. But I had another product I wanted to sell her too. And so I'm sitting in the office, and of course I've just been having an engagement with the presence of God, and I'm just going, ah. And she comes in and says, man, what are you being on? So I said, I've been on the Holy Ghost juice. She says, what's that? I said, let me tell you. And I said, in fact, I've got something even better to tell you. Actually, your child is standing behind you with Jesus, and he wants you to know that you're going to see him again. All he wants you to do is just repent and turn, because I can see him, and his name's Dada. Started to cry. Got saved. Got delivered. It's easy. It's just not hard to evangelize, actually, when you're in the Spirit. So Jesus would do. You know, so, so what if they reject? I don't care. That's their problem. It really is. And so, this is what makes it easy for us when we're kingdom people, when you're kingdom-minded, and when you're spiritually orientated and spiritually connected and engaged, it actually makes it easier to share stuff. And even people who are stubborn, you know, you can get right around, as you can see where the stubbornness sits like a brick wall in their life. You can go right past it and get right into their heart. It's not hard to do. But you've got to practice the pathways. And everything I've ever learned in the Spirit hasn't been from going, somebody laying hands on me and going, whoa, and then I've got it. It's never worked like that for me. They've laid hands on me and gone, whoa, and I've got it for about 2 minutes, and I've spent the next 6 weeks trying to grow it again in my own life. Impartation will only stay if you work with it. And so our biggest problem is many of us don't work with the impartations we've ever had. And I have people coming to me and say, oh, Ian, you know, just forgive me for this, but, oh, Ian, I want the double portion. She didn't ask me for it. I told her she was going to get it, so that's kind of safe. But I don't want the person to have a double portion of what I got, because I don't want them to have the trouble that I've had. Because a double portion is only reserved for the firstborn, and I want to be a firstborn. Because I want to get everything first. I want to get before you. And if you beat me, then I won't be very happy, but that's all good. Sorry, I'm just being smart. But when you understand the principle of firstborn, secondborn, that's very, very important. Hallelujah. So I kind of came to this place where I needed to understand the human mind and how it worked a little bit so that I could get to teaching and enabling people to understand why we don't see. And our biggest problem is when we close our eyes, all we see is black. And we are taught by the resonance in our DNA and the record of a historical line that's recorded in our DNA that black will always be black and will always be black forever and ever and ever. Amen. Well, actually, the reality is I wasn't born to see black. I was born to see the heavens. And the reason I see black is because the bottom side of my screen of my imagination has never been activated in the right way. And so when you close your eyes, it's black. But actually, when I close my eyes now, I can't close my eyes. Well, I do, and I have to when I go to sleep. But I love closing my eyes because I see something totally different than what I am this way. And when I want to engage, I'll close my eyes and I'll engage and I can open my eyes again, but I'm still seeing from this side. And it looks really different than what it is here. And it's good. You learn. See, it's a learned process. It's not... when people can see, it's really, really interesting because you see them get the revelation and it goes, whing! It's like little bells going past on the train. Anyway, I better get to teaching here. This is only 25 minutes left. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm going to give you some words that explain the human brain and some of its functions. You can understand, I'm not a neuron scientist, right? I've never studied to be a neuron scientist, but I've had some very interesting discussions with neuron scientists. And I love talking with them because I know stuff that they get after 25 years of college experience and 45 years of operating on people's brains. And I can send them all, that's what's going on down here, and you'll find this happening around here. And they kind of go, yeah, how did you know that? Well, you know, that God just tells you. Why? Because you're going to have a look. I want to know how it's made. I want to know how it functions. So you're going to have a look. And then you can get secrets that God's reserved for us. And it's neat. I love discussing stuff with physicists. You get with them. I won't even go there. Hallelujah. It's all under the blood. Glory to Jesus. Divine vibration bringing order through the vibration of his DNA into the chaos that we live in. Praise you, Jesus. So I'm going to give you some of these parts of the human brain. One is the dendrites. Dendrites are the receiver of information into your brain. They're the receptors or the receivers of information. The hippocampus is a part of your brain that stores and sifts information. The neurons are the basic cell of the nervous system of the brain. The synapse are the electrical impulses or impulse lines that transmit information from neuron to neuron. The axons are the pathways that carry information from neuron to neuron. So just to put it really plainly so you can have it in single-dimensional terms, you have a neuron here in your brain, and you have a neuron here in your brain. Excuse me for you folks who can't see over there. You can have a look at the board later. I'll try and stand here and do it. And so what happens is you have the axons, which are the connectors between these two things, and you have these synapses that are the literal impulses that go down these lines like this. Now, the more you use a neuron and the more you use the axons with impulses, the greater the capacity for the information line to travel in your brain develops like that. So from a single line memory to second nature becomes a pathway. And usually it's one direction that connects this to the next experience, that connects this to the next experience, so that next time you have an experience, it's not measured against the first thing, but against the last one. And so the more you use this, the more these get strengthened, till you end up with a massive big flow of information in all one direction, coming from what you know and what you've learned in your life. All right? All learned experience creates a unique pattern of neuron constellations. If exposed to the event is repeated, especially if the event is significant, the constellation of synapses surrounding the neurons will be strengthened and get bigger and bigger and bigger, like I've just shown you. The steady yet selective accumulation of the present. So what you are seeing right now, so your brain is receiving every single bit of information that is in this whole of this room, including the exit signs, the colors of the door, the colors of the wall, the lines, the dots in the ceiling, the colors of the lights, the flags, the clock, the back wall, every bit of information in here, all the colors of your clothing, all your faces, the glasses sitting on the top of you, the glasses on your face, your nose, the freckles on your head, the pimples you've got on your face, your brain is receiving all of that information every second. Okay? So the accumulation of the present creates memory. And so to make it memory, permanent memory, I need to actually have an anchor for the accumulation of the present. So when I see someone, I'll see them, And then the next time I come to a conference, I'll see them again. I go, oh, I saw them at the conference there. This time I come along, I don't actually have to remember because it's already established that I saw them at the conference. Can you see how we work as humans? And that's why when you meet people, you say their name seven times over. Hi, I'm hi, Ian. How are you going, Ian? That's really great to see Ian. What's your wife like, Ian? What do you do, Ian? By the time you've done Ian seven times, you've actually remembered their name. Well, I have to do it about 47 times before I do that now. So I don't know if it's old age or just naivety. I haven't worked that one out yet. But anyway. All incoming sensory information goes to the clearinghouse in your brain called the hippocampus, which helps convert your immediate experience and memory into a short-term memory, a short-term memory into permanent memory. What we are experiencing now creates reality when measured against what you already know. Key statement. I'll read that again for you. What we are experiencing now creates reality when measured against what we already know. If you do not know the realm of the kingdom and experience the realm of the kingdom and have seen in it, then all that information is nothing to be measured against and gets shredded and destroyed. All of these experiences, even altered perceptions of reality, have to be sorted by the hippocampus. Important experiences are set aside for permanent storage. Other experiences either stored in matter's pending tray or are shredded within hours of its storage in the hippocampus. The human mind goes through a clearing about every 7 years. So from 1 to 7, at about 7 years of age, you start getting a clearing of the first year. So when you're walking into the 8th year, the first year is being wiped from your memory. And all the neurons that you haven't used, that haven't been activated and used on a consistent basis to be able to create permanent memory, get the information lines get broken, and so that the neuron then can become used for something else. That's why we can't really remember stuff. At about the age of 14 and about 26, 27, the human brain goes through a major clearing, and it shifts out stuff that you are unable to remember. It just shifts it out, so it's got more stuff it can use, because the more adult you become, the more you learn, the greater the expanse of the neurons that your brain starts to use. And the worst thing about all this is we only use a third of the part of our brain. And so your whole life, you're only using a third of the part of your brain, and which is really quite a shame, because the rest is all connected to the spirit world. And so if the human brain today could be, you could describe it as the latest, hugest shopping mall. If you could build a computer today, even with the technology that we have today, including the little things that the guys break off the NASA spaceships, you know, the diamonds they cut off the spaceships there that they can cut and slice and they can use them as computers. Those things, they're like diamonds. They're better than a diamond, and they form out of the supernatural world in the space on the things because they're in black matter and whatever. Just good stuff. If you were to take even those things that they can use and you were to build a computer to do what your brain does today, with today's technology, the computer would be one story high and cover the whole state of Texas. That happens in here. That's why we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because even the things that we've made can't do what we've been created to do, because that's why what you're made to is not what you're created to do. Whatever's created has far superior capacity than whatever's been made. We've been made in the image of our parents. We've been created in the image of God. It would be like the biggest, largest stock exchange. This is the estimation. With 100 billion dealers all buying, selling, exchanging, making, and canceling debts and offloading investments all at the same time. 100 billion. There's not even 4.5 billion people on the face of the earth yet so far. 7 billion people on the face of the earth. I don't know how many is. 7 billion on the face of the earth. Well, times that by another 10. All of them speaking at the same time going on every second in your brain. I'm just trying to stretch you're thinking of it so you can see how God has made us and what is important for us to become. Just imagine what's going to happen when we use all our brain. Be like Adam, naming all the animals. I've often wondered how Adam got the wisdom, how to name the animals, you know? And then God has a sneaky plan, and he makes a two-legged one, and he brings her out, and he goes, whoa, man. You know, it's just the way it is, eh? Hallelujah. Every skill, we just wipe that from the CD. Every skill we acquire, just like the cattle on Mount Horeb called Horribles. Just like every skill we acquire, every memory we store is the result of new connections being formed and built by the brain. The brain can grow in use and function, but will not grow beyond the expanse that is already there. Its function will grow and its capacity will grow as you use the thing. The brain makes new connections in seconds and new memories in minutes. And so that is what I've been born into. So my biggest problem now is I've spent 40 years of my life, I'm 179 by the way, 40 years of my life, that's by faith, one day in the future, perfected as I am now. No, not really, but however it's going to be. But yeah, really, because that's what we desire. If we were to take all of this stuff and try and put it in a diagram, it would look something like this. We'll just take one of the sensory neurons, and the one that is predominantly used in the spirit is your eye gateway. You can have your touch gateway exercised by your spirit so you learn how to feel things. You can have your taste gateway exercised so you can taste things in the spirit. You can have your nasal gate exercised so you can smell things in the spirit, because every human has a fragrance. The fragrance of God in them is limited and measured by the flow of the glory that's in your life. The glory tastes and smells like whatever. And so... But I want to talk about the eye gate, because the eye gate is the issue that most people are functioning and trying to struggle with. That's why they don't see. And so we have, if I was to just draw some really simplistic pictures here for you, and I can only draw simplistic stuff, so you know how it is. So this is my eyeball. All right? And so in the back of my eyeball, I've got a screen that looks like this. Okay? And so the images flow in from here. That's Auntie Floozy. Flows in like this. And Auntie Floozy appears on the screen of my mind. Actually, the wrong way around. Auntie Floozy appears in my brain. So actually, when you think you're the right way up, you're actually upside down. I just thought I'd blow your bubble there. And so what happens all through your learning life, right from the time that you begin to get conceived in your womb and you become a spirit being in your mother's womb, right from that point you begin to receive information from the spirit world as well as from the natural world. When we are born, a child who is in the womb has the outside sensory neurons of its body and ears functioning fully and is able to actually scream and speak, but actually can't because the water can't contain it. So when a person has an abortion, the child actually screams. And so anyway, I won't go there. But what you've got to understand is that when we are born and we take our first breath, the information flow from the outside starts in a major way. Everything we've ever touched, tasted, smelled, seen, or heard begins to form memories in our mind. And that's why a baby will look at something, reach out for it, then put it in its mouth, because its taste gate is more operational because it's been inside the womb. But then as it grows older, its audio and eye gate begins to go, and then its touch gate gets more keener, and the taste gate starts to wane unless you're addicted to something. And then you go past KFC. You know, I mean, the addictions that actually come through your gateways. And so what happens is that on this side of the screen, we have a major enforcement of information flow that goes to neurons that form specific pathways inside your brain, right? And so all my life, I'm learning from one side of the screen of my mind. And so everything I've ever imagined, the imagination, when it happens on this side of your screen of your mind.
That's why vain imagination is really bad, because they create an environment for things to come from the outside and attach to you, images that you store inside your brain. And let me tell you, the enemy can read your brain quite nicely. And so what I found is that when I got born again, I wanted to see. And I suddenly found that I couldn't see. Because here's what happens. When I get born again, my spirit that was darkened, now comes a light. And the essence of the presence of God gets put into me, which enables my spirit to be quickened and engaged with His kingdom and His realm of His glory again. So my spirit then comes alive with the presence of Jesus. I don't really care what you call it, just as long as it's holy and pure and acceptable in the sight of God, it's all good. And so inside of me is a flow of the essence of the person of God that now resides in me, that quickens my spirit and makes my spirit come alive. Now, my problem is this, that I have spent 40 years of my life learning one way. And my spirit is now going, no, that's all wrong. And your soul and your body are going, you think so? We're in charge. Sorry. And so now I have a problem, because suddenly I want to experience the kingdom. And I want to see and experience the realms of God. And because we're not taught how we function, we actually run into trouble, because no one's shown us how we live and how we function. So here suddenly, my spirit comes alive. And on the inside of my spirit is the presence of God. Then there's my spirit. And then there's my soul. And then there's my body. You know, and if you're like me, then you kind of have, you know, that mid-age crisis thing that instead of six-pack, you call a keg. I just believe it's more to contain the glory. The bigger I am, the happier I'm going to be. More glory. Not really, but anyway, I'm just, whatever, I'm being facetious. And so let's just rub those out for the TV's sake. So what happens in here is my spirit actually, it's easier to rub the whole thing out and just draw it again. The essence of the way that my spirit communicates with my soul is through my soul. And your mind and your memory are part of your soul. Okay? And so what happens is suddenly it starts getting information. And it wants information to flow, so it brings the information up to the screen of your mind. But instead of being on the outside, it's now on the inside. And because you have never been trained how to use it, you lose it. Because there is no anchor for any reality you rest upon. Because remember, the accumulation of the present measured against the past forms permanent memory. There was no past experience for it to be anchored upon. And so it goes into the hippocampus, shred, shred, shred. And then the massive war starts between what you already know and these established pathways along here, and this wanting to create a unique pathway out of the kingdom realm. And so we have this massive war that goes on day after day after day. And we're standing here, I want to see, I want to see. And your spirit's going, I've got nothing to see. I've got nothing to anchor on what you're seeing, what I'm seeing. Because remember, I've gone from being a soul and a body now to a spirit. And so what happens is my spirit man begins to wrestle with trying to transform my soul and change the way that it functions so that it is submitted to my spirit. My soul must be the bondservant to my spirit and my body the slave to my soul. And so whatever goes on in your soul is going to be dictated in your actions in your body. And so we teach people to try and stop doing stuff in the body instead of teaching them how to change the soul with their spirit. And so we set them up for failure. Time after time. And then it's called good works. Well, you've just got to do it. Really? Well, I've tried not to do it, but I do it. Even Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. So even Paul knew about the wrestle. And so we end up in this chaotic thing where we give up. We go, it's too hard. No one's going to answer. And you go into this mode, I will always be like this. I will always be a sinner. And I will always sin. Therefore, I have to wait for him to come and take me out. What's the use of living a Christian life? Because I'm only always going to be a sinner anyway, and I'm always going to be sinning anyway. Yet in 1 John it says, he that is born of God sins not. He that is begotten of God, the evil one touches him not. So actually, there is a reality that God wants to bring us into where the power of the body is so converted and changed by the spirit man that the essence of who you are, the nature, begins to get changed in your soul. So you don't sin anymore. And you don't have to struggle to not sin, you just don't want to sin. When you say to somebody, don't sin, they'll sin. Why? Because you make them focus on it. You know, stop doing this. Really? Wow. You tell me to stop doing it. I've already got my focus on it. Can you see how the enemy has so beguiled us of the liberty, of the freedom, of the kingdom that is within us, and so shut us out of the reality we can walk in and being free from some of the things that continue to plague our lives? God is able to get us free from them, but it's got to be His way, by transformation. The word says to be transformed, the renewing of your mind. You know, you've got to have your mind renewed and transformed. Transforming comes from a Greek word that is connected with the word metamorphosis. And what it means is the progress from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Now, anybody understand that a caterpillar and a flutterby butterfly is so different? So I call them a fat pillar and a flutterby, you know, whatever. And it's like that, you know, the poor old worm makes himself so round and so fat, he's good to lay on. And he decides to spin this nice pillowcase around him called a cocoon. And so he's I'm being really naughty. I'm starting to get blasted by the glory and I just got to pull myself in. Hallelujah. And so what happens is he spins this thing around him called a cocoon. And then he sits in that cocoon and thinks that the world is just going to revolve around him. He doesn't realize that his whole body is going to become mush. Every single strand and record of the DNA of the caterpillar gets disassociated. And in that breaking up process, there's heat generated in the DNA transformation. And then what happens? It gets to a certain temperature. And like that, a new DNA strand begins to form of something that was. That's why our God is a consuming fire. Because fire doesn't burn something. Heat and fire change the nature of what it's exposed to, and the gas coming off forms a flame. It's changing the nature that releases the power. Okay? And so God wants us to change our nature, because when our nature's changed, the power can get released. And so the metamorphosis process from being a human being to a spirit being needs to begin to take place. And for me, the greatest thing that I've worked on has been the capacity to engage the supernatural world with what I see. And I'm going to talk about how to cleanse your mind from garbage tomorrow, because there's a process you can go through that you'll redeem your screen of your imagination so that it's not polluted by the demons that sit on it. Because it's the gateway of your soul. Whatever controls the gate controls what goes in and out. So whatever you've seen and subject your eye gate to has a demon spirit sitting in your soul and your imagination controlling what goes in and out of that thing. There is a way to redeem that and get yourself free from the bondage of the things that have sat around them. And so I went through this process and suddenly realized that I want to do another session tomorrow or later on, whatever. And if I don't do it, get some CDs. They'll do you good. Really, they'll really help you. I teach all this stuff and have done now for about 8 or 10 years, mostly overseas. And so you end up in the struggle now trying to engage God, trying to experience God, and you hold your soul going, nah, I'm in charge. So Paul says, I pummel my body into submission. And so you're busy worshiping in church and you go, oh, I've got roast for Sunday dinner. Mm-mm. Oh, sorry, Lord, I'm worshiping you. And you go, oh, I've got Monday. And your whole soul takes over your spirit man so that it isn't able to engage because your soul wants to stay in charge. And so it'll do everything it can to distract you from engaging the kingdom realm. And it'll be then you have these little things called familiar spirits. You know what? You know anybody? You know who you guys who are older? You know what Lone Ranger is? You know the guy with the mask? You know, gallops off in the sunset. Well, whenever he gallops off, he's always got Tonto with him. A lot of us have Tontos with us when he gallop off into the sunset. Usually, when somebody loses it in church, it's because they've got a Tonto sitting with them, going, "Go! I'm now riding you, baby." But this is what happens, you see. And so inside our soul, we have these things that are so familiar with our brokenness. They live in our brokenness, and they can even speak to you in first person like, "Oh, don't worry about that, Ian. They won't really know." Or, "I really feel like this today." Have you ever actually gone down? Sorry, that's holy spit. Sanctified, DNA changing, molecularified glory. I was at this youth camp one day and down in Waipuk and where's Fielding, and we had all these young people sitting in the front seat, and I was, you know, this happens occasionally when I get excited. And so anyway, I came to a stage where they all sat in the front seat, and then I started preaching, all brought out these little cocktail umbrellas, you know. Anyway, whatever. It's just life. And so this whole issue on the current of the flow of the manifestation of the glory, the need to form permanent memories under here with things of the kingdom becomes so vital for you. And that was amazing, wasn't it? Anyway, whatever. I was hoping I'd be able to rub it out, but didn't. Anyway. And so the whole depolarization of the things that go on around our lives needs to come back into right divine order. And God wants us to engage his kingdom. He wants us so that we can begin to experience the fullness of who he is today in the current realm that we walk in this earth. The fullness. And so when Jesus says, "I am one with the Father, and you and me, and because you're one with me, you're one with the Father," well, that means actually, well, let's blow your brains here a bit, shall we? Well, it actually means that if I'm in the Father, it means that when I pray, I can sit on the throne inside him. So if you want to learn what he does, go sit inside him. It also means then that perhaps if I'm in God and he's omnipresent, I can be omnipresent. It also perhaps means that if I'm one with Christ and I'm one with the Father as I'm entwined with him, I become one with the Word. Says he that is, they totally lost scriptures now. Sorry. I'll get it for you in a minute. I'll pull it out. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So actually, I'm one with him, because if I'm one spirit, I'm connected to everything he's doing, so I'm in him. So if I'm in Christ, it actually means I can be omniscient. It also means that if I'm in him, and he's in me, and I'm seated with him in the realm of the glory, and I walk in his kingdom, and I walk in another kingdom, it also means I can be omnipotent. So do you know who you really are? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sure that'll fry your brain cells for a few weeks. It did mine. I've only just got over it, so I thought I'd pass it on. In you and I, there are large sections of the brain that are not used. Those sections of the brain are directly linked to the supernatural world and to the kingdoms that we need to be established in. The massive wrestling happens inside of us. And I want to do the next session I'll do a session over this weekend on how to use the Word as a gate of entry into the kingdom realm. Because once you understand the Word, that the Word becomes a gate, you then have an anchor to create an image on this side of your screen with. And then what happens is the information flow can go and be anchored on the Word of God. And then from that, you begin to form the current expectation experience. Measured against that becomes a memory. Once the memories start to form, I can then begin to form new pathways and memories along here. And therefore, I can see in the Spirit and in the kingdom. And it is a learned pathway. Somebody did not go up to me and lay hands on me and go, "I've got it all." To learn this, I've just shared 2 years of my life with you in 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 35 minutes. And so I've had to learn the pathway, and I understand the pathway. Now that I understand it, I can use it. And not only can I use it, but I can see it. When I can see it, I can have it. Because it releases faith to believe for the impossible, the very thing that is only in written form then can come into reality or in dream form. The key is allowing your imagination to do what it is supposed to do, which is to see in the realm of the kingdom. You don't see from the outside in this way of the spirit world. Those that see this way predominantly are influenced by familiar spirits and involved in the occult world. And their body uses the gateway of the spirit, the capacity of the spirit entwined with a demon to be able to see out of the spirit world, but it comes from the outside in this way. You and I, as believers and as sons of God, are supposed to see from the inside, created as we are, to the outside. God made us like that. He created us to be a spirit being that has a soul that lives in a physical body. I'm not a physical body that is a soul that has a spirit. If you've been taught that, you're very wrong and you've been deceived. If God is a spirit, as the word says, God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. If God is a spirit, then I need to come back to the reality that I've got to become a spirit being as well. I don't know about you, but I want to become a spirit being. I want who I am supposed to be manifested fully in this arena and atmosphere called the earth so that I can do what Adam never did, which was to subdue it and have dominion over it. The only way you're subdued and have dominion over it is if you go back to the way it was. You know, it's sin to the Hebrews. We as Greek classify sin very, very badly. We say one sin is worse than another. We say murder is worse than doing it in your heart. They say sexual fornication is worse than doing it in your heart. They say swearing or desiring your neighbor's goods is worse than doing it in your heart. Well, Jesus actually had a higher kingdom. If you do it in your heart, you've done it anyway. And so what's worse, doing it in your heart or physically doing it? You see, and we've classified these things. And we've got this long range of sin. And it goes from bad to nearly not so bad. Well, actually, the way the Hebrews see sin is it's anything that should not be here or that was not here as it was before the fall. That's how they see sin. Anything. That's why they were pushed to redeem themselves and to have the covenants and to live in them and to walk in them, because they recognized that they were actually in a place where they needed Him to help them come to back what they should have been before the fall. Their desire is to go back to what they were before the fall. And ours should be no different, because it's the same God. It's the same God and Father. Hallelujah. I'll talk a little bit tomorrow maybe about dealing with images. Just for time's sake. Talk how to use the word. The key that I found that has begun to release the realms of the kingdom for me is, what are you looking at? If you continue to look at things that defile your life, then you'll find great struggle seeing in the kingdom. Because the things that sit on this side of your screen stop your full capacity to see from the inside out. They pollute the other side of the screen of your mind. You know, this side here, they block this here. And then you have to deal with the memories that you created by what you watch. That's why it's so important to keep short accounts with what you see. It's so important to keep short accounts with what you see. The shorter the accounts are, the easier it is to maintain a flow of the kingdom where you can see. Remember, Hebrews were seeing and feeling people, not hearing and thinking people. Greek are thinking, hearing. And they defiled us and taken us out of our truth of who we're supposed to be. One of the key things, another key thing that I found is that there is a thing in our brain that seems to separate our brain. It's more pronounced than males, where your brain is almost divided in two, and it's like a gap, an impregnable force that keeps this whole part of your brain sort of from functioning and connecting with the other side of your brain. And for me, I realized that actually, if it's been separated, it can be joined, And if there's something separated, then it means I can use what's separating or take out what's separating so my brain can be joined properly. And so I went through a process of pulling out the separating parts of my brain, where the gap was in my mind between the both sides of the spirit realm part and my natural part that's connected with the different parts of my brain. I began to pull those sheets out of my brain, actively, forcefully engaging those things to pull them and dislodge them out of my brain. And it takes power to flow between two points. And so we have the fullness of the power of God flowing in us. And therefore, I can create a pathway between those two separating parts of my brain if I want to. All you need is two points to create an arc. And then you put current in it. It gets to a strong point where it will spark across. And then you get a light beam that will go between this and make it fluorescent lights. It's just gas. The two arc points create enough current and it'll arc through the light between those two points. So you're going to create enough gas inside there, full of hot air. No. But you're going to create, you have the capacity for two points to form inside your brain so you can create the fullness of what God is inside your head and work with it. Just do whatever you've got to do to get yourself free and freed up. I just kind of think it's enough there. It's 3 o'clock and so we need to have a break. So you'll find that the day will go really, really fast. It's already 3 o'clock and it kind of only feels like I've been here for 10 minutes. Let's just pray. Father, in fact, actually, it'd be really good if all of you lay both hands on your head. I want you to follow me. Father, deliver me from myself. From the selfishness of who I am. Father, today I give you my mind. Lord, this is what you created me with. Not what I am now. Father, I want to become what I should have been. I ask today that you would begin to activate parts of my brain that are not activated. I lay hands on my head and I speak to my brain. You will facilitate and come into the arena of the kingdom of glory. You will begin to understand. You will begin to receive information from the kingdom realm. Not only will you receive it, but you will begin to retain it. I take my spirit today and I wrap it around my human mind. And I speak to my mind that you will submit to the presence of God in me. And as a son, I speak to my mind. You will receive the word of God in all its measures and in all its fullness, and you will retain the information that my spirit is speaking to you with today, now, on this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I get really excited when things start to break open in the spirit world and for us too. And I know that as we go on the rest of the day, things are going to become a little bit clearer and a little bit clearer and a little bit clearer for some of you. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to lay a foundation for you. Because without the foundation of what I'm trying to teach you, you'll find that it's just all a big mystery and you'll give up. So I'm trying to take the mystery out of it all so it makes it easy and simple for you to work with. Amen.